There are a number of cases of what they call bilocation, where she would be seen in two locations at the same time. And this would often occur when someone she was close to was in a distressful situation. She would suddenly be right there, and she'd be wearing the same clothes that she was wearing in the other place where she was also present. And Amici has cases of the same kind of phenomena called bilocation. Most of us would just think this is ridiculous, unless we study a little bit of particle physics, where we're now finding out that the same particle can exist in two places at the same time. So why not a human being who's mastered all the powers of nature? So sometimes when someone would be seriously ill, she'd just appear and cure them. She had control of the elements. She could make it rain or stop raining. She's known to have stopped various floods. And here's a example of her. People would come to her and want things, like, "Will you help my child?" So here's an example of how she operated. Once in reply to someone seeking from her a miraculous favor for a son, she too is called Amma, which is Blessed Mother. Once in reply to someone seeking from her a miraculous favor for a son, Amma responded, "What a pity! My boy has also failed in his examination, and my daughter is almost always suffering from bad headache. I am not able to help my children, dear lady. What can I do for yours?" That was her answer. I can't even help my own children. How am I supposed to help yours? To anyone hankering after a wondrous paranormal happening, she would declare, you know, because people like, you know, magic and miracles and stuff. To anyone hankering after this, she would declare, "The creation itself is the most awe-inspiring miracle. What other miracle do you need? There is no greater miracle than love and goodwill for one and all." That's where that was her bottom line. So even though she could perform what people called miracles, she usually didn't. She said that she had no concept of sin. She had no disciples. She called everyone around her children. And she saw herself as a mother. And she said a mother loves all her children equally. And the children who are quote-unquote bad children, she loves just as much as the so-called good children, maybe even more, because they need more love. So again, her love was unbounded. It said that many people around her in her environment would not even talking with her would find themselves relieved of all kinds of lifelong problems. Physical problems, mental problems, they just go away. Just being in her presence without her focusing on that person in particular. I mean, these are all like documented cases. And some of you know about the so-called chakras. You probably don't know about them, but you heard the word. If they're all open, we'd all be enlightened. But they have knots in them, as the saying goes. And she could apparently, by a glance, undo all those knots. And if she chose to. Okay, I want to get to some of her teachings here. One of her teachings is that underlies all of her statements in which he uses the word God is just a place filler. You can put any other name you want in there. Krishna, Buddha, ultimate reality. She talked about the immanence of God. That's the part where all of this is God. Everything's an expression of divinity. The immanence of God as this entire world play of forms. So the entire universe, this entire world play of forms, is the expression of what she's calling God. So there's no dualism. There's no good and evil. There's no God and Satan. There's just God. And God's transcendence as formlessness. So the whole universe is God, but a God also has an aspect which is totally formless and unknowable. Two, this is like her teachings that she didn't have, but come out in all of her sayings. Two, a complete equanimity and contentment over whatever happens in the world. This is what she advocated. First, see everything as God. Second, cultivate equanimity, equal-mindedness, in relation to anything that happens in the world. This is advocated by most great teachers. Equanimity and contentment over whatever happens in the world. I mean, that's like almost unbelievable to imagine. Yet she was in this state herself all the time. Three, a non-dual devotion toward God as the cosmic principle, with the realization, all is He, all is His doing. All is He, all is His doing. It's an illusion to think that we are doing something, from her standpoint. God's doing everything. This gets kind of complicated if you kind of like look at world history or something. For some people, she'd advocate thinking the thought, all is He, all is His doing. Just maintaining that thought as you go through a day, all is He, all is His doing. For those further along, she'd say, think, you are all is your doing. You are all is your doing. There's no I anywhere in this. We are never the doer of actions. The one alone who emanates this universe is the sole doer of all actions. This is the most abstract philosophy on the planet. And she says it's the most difficult to comprehend. And she didn't talk about it very much as a result. These words of Amma have the effect of eliminating I, thou, or me, not me split that characterizes most people's outlook. It eliminates I, thou, me, not me. A dichotomy between an egocentric me over here and a God or outside world out there. She just wipes that out. Me here, you there, no, wrong. Me here, outside world, wrong. Me here, God there, wrong. Non-dualism. Otherwise known as oneness. That's a hippie thing. It's all one. And it really is all one, according to her. Yeah. Furthermore, she says, Amma maintained a theology of complete non-dualism. One, refusing to accept the notion of a separate ego agent with free will. So she refused to accept the notion of a separate ego agent with free will.